Welcome back to the Cadet Conversations and Coffee Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Collison. This week on the podcast, I have high school graduate from Iowa Falls Island High School, Dana Council. She graduated high school in 2014, and in 2018, she returned to become an English teacher. Dana's classroom is right next to mine, and we both teach English 1, so we collaborate quite a bit. You know, we bounce ideas off one another, and Dana's got awesome activities, awesome ideas, and just a real passion for teaching and working with kids. It was cool to hear her talk about what inspired her to become a teacher. And then it was really cool to hear her talk about her why. She talks about how the students who maybe don't love school as much really are the ones who drive her to continue to do what she does. And it's cool to hear that young teachers are getting into the profession for that reason. I hope you enjoy the episode. And if you do like what we're doing here on the podcast, give us a like, follow, or subscription on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, or wherever else you listen to your podcasts. Enjoy the show. So I'm here with high school English teacher, Dana Council, who's also a head girls track coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a cheer sponsor for wrestling cheerleading.
Yep.
Right. Awesome. Sure, so thanks for coming on the podcast,
yes,
Dana.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. So Dana and I, our classrooms are next to each other and we both teach English 1. So we do a lot of planning together and thinking about what we're going to do for our students. So this will be cool. So first, we'd like to start off the pod with telling us a little bit about your family and where you grew up.
Perfect. So I'm actually from Iowa Falls. I went to school here, had a lot of the teachers that I now work with. As far as family, my entire family were from here originally, but then everybody moved to Cedar Falls.
And except so, you.
Except
you
me. I came back.
Because you went to Cedar Falls for
no.
you and I,
Yeah,
right?
for you and I. Yep. yep. So I went to UNI, and then they, of course, all followed me there. And then they apparently didn't want to follow me back here. So I have an older brother and a younger sister. I actually just moved my older brother into the house next door to my parents in Cedar Falls. Like, good for him. Like, happy for him. But I'm also so jealous because they live right next to each other now. Like, so that is awesome.
He gets to see your folks all the time.
All the time. Yeah. Like, they're going to build like a – they're going to make a shared driveway. Like, that is awesome. They're going to combine their backyards and the dogs are going to run around. So I am pretty much just jealous about that.
Yeah. So obviously family important to
yes.
you, you know, and you, I know that you've talked about like, hey, I'm going to visit my parents mm-hmm. and my brother and my sister.
Yep. I go to them all the time.
So you are the middle child, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I am.
Younger sister and she's in school right now.
Yeah. She is 17, which sounds old, but I still think she's like 13. But she goes to Cedar Falls. So she'll be a senior next year, and then she plans to go to Iowa State. So
oh, cool.
So she'll be moving out of Cedar Falls.
So do you find that, you know, you're being you're a teacher right now, and you're teaching high school kids, which is the same age as your mm-hmm. sister. Do you feel like that helps you maybe understand the kids a little bit better?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I use her so much. Like, I'll talk to her about, hey, I think I want to do this with my kids. Like, what do you think? This is stupid. And so she usually...
What do you think this is stupid?
Yeah.
Is like, question.
No, all the time, because I... want to do these things that I think are fun. And then sometimes I ask her, like, Deanna, is this a fun thing to do? And she'll say, Dana, that's stupid. And then I'll rethink it. Or I'll ask her, like, if this makes sense as I'm going through things. Or just really asking. I mean, I ask her a ton of things, honestly.
Yeah.
And then
it probably
she...
helps to know, like, what the popular trends are
yeah.
or whatever. Because even though you and I would consider us younger teachers mm-hmm. – we're like, there's stuff that kids talk about where I'm like, I have no, I'm so lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, she taught me how to play Among Us. And so, I mean, like, I was in with that right away. And so she really helps me stay cool.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Among Us, at least at one point, was like every kid was focused on that mm-hmm. game on their computer and not yeah. what we were doing in
not
class.
Not anything else.
but yeah, if we can know those things as teachers, that definitely
oh,
helps
yeah.
us teach. And not we certainly don't need to model everything or design everything around student interests, but there's no doubt about it. Teach an English class, mm-hmm. if you can make something more engaging to kids.
Oh, yeah. They're going to like it so much more.
Oh,
so
definitely.
Much more.
It makes it so much better. Mm-hmm. And I think that's helped us plan a little bit, like, you know, thinking about certain books we teach, maybe getting something more current,
yeah.
More relevant to the students, for sure. So one family member that you're leaving out is your dog, Tyson.
My dog, Tyson. He is the best boy ever. He is a little tiny corgi. And by tiny, he's put on a few since quarantine, if I'm being honest. But he is 3, almost 4, and he's the best thing in the entire world. He's with me all the time. I love him to death.
Now, I like dogs, but I don't think I like them as much as you do.
No, not a chance.
Yeah. It sounds, I mean, when you hear Dana talk about her dog, it sounds like a person.
It is. He is a person. He's a full-fledged person in my mind.
Okay, fair enough. And that's awesome, though. You know, I'm definitely more of a dog person. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I do always try to convince my wife to get a dog, but then she always kind of reels me back in and says, let's wait.
Reality.
Yeah, wait till our kids are older. And she always says, yeah, during basketball season, I'm going to be the one has to. And yeah. I'm like, that's a great point. So
that's an awesome point.
We're not going to get one right now. So, yeah. You know, you had talked about how you went to school here. You're like mm-hmm. me. You went to high school here. And there are a few teachers who are still here that were around when I was in school. Maybe a few more for you. You're, I think, 5 years younger than me.
Yep.
So tell me what that's like. Can it be like challenging? Do you find it challenging, or do you also find it like almost better because you these teachers do know you, they're a little bit more comfortable with you?
Yeah, I think I loved coming here right out of college because I felt so comfortable asking my previous teachers questions. Like I already knew them, and so I could already go up to them and talk to them. Versus if I didn't know anybody, I think it'd be difficult for me to kind of branch out. And so it's been really great having that extra support. I mean, it was just so nice to know the people that I was working around and kind of know their interests and what they do. And so I've loved knowing my coworkers as a student and now as a coworker.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we probably both had Kayleen Truex as a yep. mentor, and you know, she taught me and she taught mm-hmm. you, and that does make it a lot easier when you can go ask her questions. Not only about, you know, different teaching styles and strategies, but like things that you experienced in yeah. her class, you know, yep. like, hey, remember that activity you did? Mm-hmm. And I actually had that with her when we were trying to plan our writing unit for this next term. Is remember when we did that activity? Mm-hmm. She said, oh, I haven't done that for years, but maybe it would be good yeah. to do. I think it could definitely be helpful.
Yeah.
So what did you like and dislike as a student at IFA?
I liked it all. I mean, that's why I'm back here. I liked school. I like taking tests. Like, that's one thing that I oddly kind of miss. Like, I like hunkering down and studying and getting a test out of the way and feeling like, oh, I accomplished that. Mm-hmm. I liked doing that. I liked writing papers, and I liked interacting with my friends and my teachers. Like, I liked it all. Dislikes is kind of hard. Like, there wasn't much that I disliked. I know there were classes that I would go to that I didn't love as much, just because they weren't really in my element. Like, English was obviously my element. And so, you know, the math and science.
Math and science
were a little out of my mm-hmm. comfort zone. And so those were harder, but I still liked them. Like, I loved having Herzog and Kieger. They were great teachers. I just generally love science.
Yeah. And I think those guys are really good teachers too, because they know when science can be a challenge mm-hmm. for students.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like you, where science was tough for me, but it was like having a teacher like Mr. Herzog, he was able make it meaningful mm-hmm. and to make chemistry kind of an interesting subject where, even though it wasn't my favorite subject, mm-hmm. he could apply it to real life stuff yeah. for me.
Make it make sense for you
yeah.
in a way that you understood.
Yeah. And so, you know, I was probably a little different than you, where I liked school, but I liked, you know, the social aspect. I liked discussion. I don't really like tests and papers and yeah. all that. Not that I was bad at them, but it's interesting to hear you say you like those things.
I liked them. Like, that, when I had to get my coaching endorsement, I had to go and take quizzes and mm-hmm. take tests. And I was like oddly excited for it. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to write a paper and take a test. Like, I shouldn't have been excited for it, but I was.
Yeah. Probably helps you with your teaching though, mm-hmm. because you're willing, you know, if there's something you need to create mm-hmm. as an example, you can do that.
Yeah.
And I know teaching English 1 with you, that's been a great resource, because when we're going to do something together, especially like a writing unit, a mm-hmm. lot of times you already have some of those examples done, which makes my job a lot easier too. So, but no, that's great. What activities were you involved in?
So I was in volleyball for like 2 years and realized that was not my forte. And so then I switched over to cheerleading for football and wrestling. And then I did track as well, all 4 years. So did those. I can't think if there's anything else that I did. I'm not sure.
Well, the track one is cool, because now you are the head girls mm-hmm. track coach.
Yeah.
And obviously last season was going to be your first season, and it didn't happen.
We had one meet. I mean, yeah. A wild season.
Yeah. So tell us, what do you like about track?
I like it just because it's it's something that people don't really like. It's a hard sport.
Yeah, nobody likes track practice.
Nobody loves it, but there's like a certain bonding aspect because of that. Like there's a shared disdain for track and track practice with the kids that are in it. So they end up being like really close. Now that happened to me when I was in track. I kind of hated it, but I loved being around my coaches. I loved being around my friends and I loved competing.
Meets are always fun.
Yeah, meets are always fun. And so I just really like that aspect of it, that it really does bring kids really close because it is hard.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It's kind of that shared, like this sucks for everyone, but we're all together.
We're all in the suck.
Embrace the suck.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think you're so right about that. And I know that when you do get a chance to practice more with your team, that's going to be something that girls have in your program. Yeah. It'll be really fun. Mm-hmm. It is definitely as fun as you make it, I'm sure.
Oh,
and I didn't run track, but I coach middle school track now. And I know that with our middle school kids, that's what they always say. Like, practice is hard.
Yeah.
We don't love it, but the meets are really fun.
Meets are fun.
Being on the team is fun.
Yeah.
And that's what it should really be about.
Mm-hmm. Last year, me and Mr. Uhlenhop, who is the assistant coach, we had, before everything happened, we had planned on running to Dairy Queen for free ice cream day.
Oh, nice.
And the kids were so excited. So if they have that again this year, we'll have to.
You didn't get to do it?
No, we didn't get to. And the kids were so excited about it.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want free ice cream?
That's a bummer. But you guys will. I feel pretty confident you'll get it this year.
I think so.
So
I'm hopeful.
Awesome. So you talked about, going to school here and having good relationships with your teachers. When did you know, though, that you liked being a student, but when did you know, I want to be a teacher? I don't want to just be a student anymore. Yeah. I want to be a teacher.
So I actually didn't really, that wasn't, being a teacher wasn't really in my horizon at all for at least a few years when I was in high school. But there was this moment when one of my brother's friends was making fun of me in a nice way. He was like, man, Dana, all you do is read books. Like, what kind of job are you going to get that you can just read books? And hating to be one-upped, and to be in the wrong, I was like, well, I can just be an English teacher. You literally read books and you get paid and you talk about them. So that's what I'm going to do. And he was like, oh, yeah, I guess that works.
That would be a perfect career.
Yeah. And so from that point on, like, I was just like, I guess I probably could be an English teacher. And so that weird interaction kind of made me realize that was an option that I would actually enjoy. And so from there on, that's what I was doing.
Yeah. And I think for all of us, it kind of starts down that road. You have a love, obviously for language and writing, but definitely the stories and, the different things, the themes, the characters.
Yeah.
And I know for me, I was in a similar boat where growing up, I loved to read and I loved stories, whether that was reading them or watching them, in movies and TV shows. And you're right. You get to talk about that with your kids and have those connections. And it's always cool to see when kids have the aha moments, even when it's a book that they maybe didn't think they would like, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, that's always cool.
I love that. And I love the open-endedness of English and of books. Cause I mean, essentially there isn't any right answer. It's just, what can you prove?
Yeah.
And so I really like that kids can kind of take the books in any way that they kind of see fit. And so I think that's why I love English so much. It's just the open-endedness of it.
Yeah. And I always get a kick out of, when a student, they'll be reading a story and they'll think it's boring. And then out of nowhere, you get to a certain part and you stop to talk about it. And they're like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened? That character did what? They said what? It's like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's been cool to see kids, who maybe wouldn't love a story like that on their own.
Mm-hmm.
They probably wouldn't read it.
Yeah.
But when they read it for school, they do really enjoy it. That's always fun.
I think I remember a few times I came over to your room and you'd ask me what happened in the book because my class was like screaming.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Big moments happen in the book and they just like yell and scream and they're like, what happened?
Yeah.
And like, it's loud and it's vocal. And the fact that they can, like, they're that excited about a book.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Oh yeah. And that always makes it so much more fun for discussion. So this is a little bit related to your teaching. You went to school at UNI, which is notorious for their education program.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to UNI right now to get my principalship, and I can tell it's just a great program with great professors. What was maybe the toughest part about getting that teaching degree? Like, when you're in school for, obviously when you're in the in the day to day, every day is a challenge. But what was the toughest part about getting that initial license and going through those courses?
Honestly, I enjoyed like all of my English classes. They were all great. I did have one that was old English, which was just hard. Like it was, nobody speaks that language anymore. Well, it was just hard.
And for people who think they know what old English is, they don't.
No, it's like,
yeah,
a foreign language.
Yeah. A lot of people think like Shakespeare is old English. Shakespeare is modern English. Gosh. It's actually way more current than middle or old English. And I have friends who will be like, this is old English. And I can remember saying that too, as a high school kid. No, old English is like,
I can't even,
it's ridiculous.
Was painful. And so that class was really hard. But then like just my, like, sorry, my science classes again,
all the gen eds,
they did. Yeah. Like I didn't want to take them because I just, I was like, well, I mean, I probably don't need to know astronomy for my English teaching. Mm-hmm. And so it was difficult for me to get into those classes just to want to do them.
Yeah.
But as far as like going through like with the English teaching degree and all that stuff, I really enjoyed all the processes of it. My like student teaching and my levels where you go and go to different schools and whatnot, they were fun. Like they were anything that stressed me out too much, but I liked all of those as well.
And you do, I think at UNI, you do a middle school placement and a high school, right?
Yep, so I had middle school and high school.
So after that, did you have like, I know I want to do this. Obviously you're at high school now, but did you feel that way right after those placements? Like, this is what I want is high school.
At first, so I had my high school placement first, and my coordinating teacher was very much a very intimidating woman. Like, she really dominated the room, and I just remember being like, oh, I don't know if I can get high school kids to listen to me as well as she does. Like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed teaching them as well. And then when I went to the middle school, I was like, oh, this is a little bit of a different pace. Like, it's, I don't know how to explain it. But I realized after being in both of those that high school is definitely the better fit, just with my personality and what I want to teach. Mm. High school is just definitely the better fit.
And you have to find your way, because, you know, you had talked about your coordinating teacher. I was in a similar boat where Pat Sitzman, who was a great teacher at Sioux City Healing High School, she's actually just finished her 50th year of teaching there, which is impressive. But she was very much, you know, like, this is the way I do things. And, you know, and no one could command a room better than her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's like 5'3" and I'm 6'10" and I always feel like I'm going to walk in a room and command the room. And anyway, I knew early that I couldn't be her, but like I could learn a lot from her. And I think like what you had just shared, that experience you shared, you probably felt a little bit like, oh, I don't know if I can be her, but I think I can do my thing in this
and
age level.
And that was definitely something that I had to learn my first few weeks here. Cause I definitely went into it thinking that I could be her, that I could be this very, you know, intimidating, dominating person. And then I realized probably in day two that was just not going to work for me. And so I really had to change my approach right away. And I think once I realized that, it was so much better. Like it was so much better being able to kind of do it in the way that fit me and fit my personality. It's a lot better.
Yeah, it's kind of like coaching. I always hear quotes about coaching, and you can't try to be someone you're not. You have to be you. And you know, if you're trying to be someone else, you're never going to be the best you.
Yep.
And teaching is the same way. Oh, yeah. Really any job, but teaching especially. Anytime you're dealing with people. Because I always think too, kids, they can smell when you're not, you're not yourself.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what happened too. Because I had a group, it was a group of juniors, I think. And they just...
They knew
immediately.
This is not who you are.
Like, you are not this mean, tough woman. I'm like, no, I'm not. Right.
They're going to learn better if you're true and you're real with them. And I agree with you 100%. So let's shift away from school a little bit. What do you like to do in your free time?
I have a lot of free time.
Well, pandemic, it's a pandemic. What did you do during the initial quarantine?
Oh my gosh. I feel like I have picked up so many stupid hobbies. I'm currently really into painting by numbers, which sounds like very not exciting, but they really got some good ones recently.
So do you like find a design online and print it, or do you order a kit?
At Michael's and Hobby Lobby.
Okay.
They got some good paint by numbers. So I've been doing that, over quarantine, I tried to pick up embroidering, but like that was just too slow for me. I made some shelves.
Made some shelves.
Yeah, like I built some. They're pretty cool. They're like octagon.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I was a carpenter over quarantine.
So you actually cut the wood and everything.
Yeah.
That is really impressive.
I sanded them. Like it was the whole nine. They're super cool.
Yeah.
There's something else I've been doing.
So lots of hobbies.
Yeah. Oh, and I picked up line dancing. So, I clearly have too much free time. So yeah, I do paint my numbers and
line dancing. Line dancing is like when the cowboys and cowgirls are clapping
together. I'm a bad dancer, like horrible, like just bad. And so line dancing is getting me a little bit better.
A little bit more
and
rhythm.
It's like they tell you which way to go. And so I don't have to like throw my own flare. I can just grapevine to the left.
I think that used to be in school, like a unit that the PE teachers would do.
I wish they still did it.
I'm pretty sure my grandfather-in-law, he who was a lifelong PE teacher, he talked about like, it might've been ballroom dancing or maybe line dancing, but that used to be a unit in school. Yeah. So had Mr. Winters taught you that, you would have been in a better situation.
A new love for line dancing early on.
There you go.
I could have.
So you got hobbies, you got line dancing, obviously lots of time with Tyson. Mm-hmm,
lots of time with Tyson. And I think I've had to pick up so many hobbies because I've watched all the TV shows I could possibly watch. And so I've had to branch away from TV. So
yeah.
That's been good for me.
In the initial optional virtual learning that we did in the spring, you and I came up with a class called Does It Make My List? Mm-hmm. And it was all about TV shows, and the students were actually doing like reviews, like mm-hmm. critic reviews of TV shows and movies on Netflix, Disney Plus, Hulu. And it was so fun. And the kids were very into it. Mm-hmm. And we created a rating system. Your famous adjective for school lessons, if they are engaging, you call them spicy.
Yeah, because that's a spicy paper. Yep. You added some good things in there.
Yep. If it's spicy in Miss Council's class, that means it's a good paper or a good lesson or whatever. And so we gave them like a spicy meter. That was fun. Mm-hmm. But I remember when we were thinking about a class to do, like that was something that you talked about. Like you were like, this is what kids are doing right now.
Yeah, they're watching TV.
They're watching a lot of – that's what they're doing. Yeah, that's what they're doing anyway. But then right now when there's nothing to do, it was what they were doing. And so let's have them think and not just mindlessly watch. Let's have them think about what they're watching. And we even brought in like a Bruce Miller from the Sioux City Journal, who is a film and TV critic for the Sioux City Journal. And he talked about – you know, what his job is like. Mm-hmm. And the kids thought that was cool. So what started as an idea that I'm sure Mr. Hutchinson was kind of like, so you guys are going to come up with a class. I mean, it is virtual learning. You're going to make a class with this. It actually was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was so cool. I mean, I got a ton of shows that I then binge watched over the course of quarantine.
Recommendations from the students.
From what the kids said they were watching and what they like.
Yeah.
And so it was good for my list.
Yeah. My wife and I watched Outer Banks because of a student's suggestion on that show. And kind of liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll definitely watch the second season. So
I will too.
Yeah. Awesome. So, any other things you like to do in your free time? I know that you guys, if you up at the weight room, you will see Miss Council pumping iron. She
all
likes
the
to,
time.
I know, I know that, but I will say that has been something that you coming back to the school has been so cool to see. We have so many of our female mm-hmm. athletes who have been excited about the weight room because of you. And your, I would say presence here, like you are encouraging the girls to get in there. I mean, way more girls than I've ever seen in the weight room. And so I'm serious. Like that's a compliment and a credit to you.
I definitely think that it helps, with female athletes having another girl in the weight room. Just, I know when I was in high school, I didn't really ever step foot in there mm-hmm. unless it was for track or something. And so I think it's nice for girls to see other girls lifting and know that, oh, like lifting is something that everybody should be doing. Like it's cool. I mean, it's fun.
Yeah.
And so I do think that it helps have another girl in the room.
Oh,
and I need to work out. So it's good for me too.
Well, I think, you know, what you bring up is a great point is that the weight room is a space that it's not about going in there and lifting more than anyone else. It's about improvement, progress. And I think that it can be an intimidating place. Oh, like for me, it was, I grew and I was really tall, but it wasn't strong. And so I hated going to the weight room. And then when I got to college, I was like, I have to lift or I'm going to get bullied by these 22, 23 year old men. And so like for me, I was kind of that kid.
Yeah.
And I know that having someone like you who's like, hey, get in there. I'm lifting. Like, you can lift and let's work together. That has only helped inspire some of those girls to get in there and lift. And, you know, in the fall, Coach McNulty, yourself, and I will open the weight room for those non-fall sport athletes. And this year, it was great to see we had like four girls.
Yeah, they were pretty consistent.
They were there every day.
Got some middle school girls up too. Yeah. Like, it was great to see the girls in there.
And it's cool because it's girls who, they play basketball, they run track, but they also are dancers, they're cheerleaders.
Yeah.
You know, I think learning how to lift weights is not only great for sports, but it's also great like life habit.
It is. Like, once you get into, the sooner you get into the habit of consistently working out, like, the better it is in the long run.
Definitely.
So it's great to have them.
Definitely. Okay. So speaking of the weight room, this leads into the Mount Rushmore question. So I know you've listened to the podcast before, so you're familiar. Every episode we do a Mount Rushmore question. A Mount Rushmore list is a list of four of something, an all-time special or best list of some four of some category. It's not a ranking, so it doesn't need to be ranked. But my list, I always try to make it relate to the person I have on, unless it's, you know, we can't really figure something out. And yours, I had to do this one because we've been in the weight room in the fall. What we'll do is Coach McNulty will pick the music one day, I'll pick the music another day, and you'll pick the music one day. And we try to rotate that. And then one day when I was picking music, I was picking some pop punk music groups from the 2000s. Some stuff that I listened to when I was like in high school. And I was like, oh man, this is great. And I look over and you are mouthing all the words to the music. And I can't remember, it might've been Yellow Card or something. And you were like mouthing the words and you're like, these are my favorite groups. And so I got to ask you, what is your Mount Rushmore list of pop punk music groups of the 2000s?
Okay. So, it's lengthy and I kind of get into different genres, I think. But as far as list, I think Matchbox 20 is, I know it probably shouldn't count, but I think it needs to count.
I think that might be in like the alternative genre, but
they're like, it's a boy band.
We'll let it slide. So why do you like, so what are some of your favorite Matchbox 20 songs?
All of them. Like, there is not, if I'm like listening to the radio and a Matchbox 20 song comes on, there isn't, I don't change it. Like, I'm excited for every song that comes on. I love them. I saw them in concert like 2 years ago and they were just as good in 2018, whatever it was, than they were in the 90s.
Did they play their hits?
Yes, they played their hits like they should. I've been to other, I think I went to Jimmy Eat World maybe, and they didn't play their hits. They just like played their new stuff. And I'm like, nobody came for that.
It's like, this is what we bought the ticket for.
Yeah,
dude. Like,
we came for the hits.
I went to a Third Eye Blind concert in Seattle in 2015. And Third Eye Blind might be one of my favorite bands.
I was going to put that up on my list.
Yeah, that's definitely not pop punk. But anyway, they're one of my favorite groups of all time. And right before they started playing, Steven Jenkins, the lead singer, said, here's the deal. We got a new album out. We're going to play one song later. But then he said, F that. You're here to hear the hits. So we're going to play the hits. And that's what he played. And everyone was like, yeah.
Thank
God. That's what we want.
Seriously. Nobody comes to listen to new stuff they don't know.
Yeah.
So I like Matchbox 20.
Another thing about Matchbox 20, would you say they are like an all-time pool song, radio song group?
They are. They like, you could play all their songs at a pool and they'd be fine. Like, it's their summer. I don't know how to describe it.
Anyone who's worked at a pool, which I know you have, and you manage the Alden pool in the summers, knows that like there's certain groups or artists that you always hear on the radio in the summer.
And they're fun to listen to.
Yeah.
And so I like them. Green Day is probably up there too. Blink 182.
Both of them are great.
And
both are great.
Like my how do you word this? Breaking Benjamin.
Breaking Benjamin.
I know, which is like a very like, I feel like it's obscure, but maybe
I would
not.
Say that's a little heavier than pop.
You
punk.
Think so?
Yeah, I would. I
really?
Would.
But
I mean, there's
some like,
screaming in there too.
Yeah, that's true.
But Breaking Benjamin. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I like them. What's the other one?
So that's four, but do you want to just list a couple other ones?
I'm trying to think. There are other ones. Give me, rattle off a few that you know.
Well, okay. I would say like some of the big ones for me would be like Yellow Card, Mayday Parade.
Okay, Mayday
Parade.
Blink
182 would be in there.
Blink 182.
You know, but there's even stuff like Good Charlotte is pop punk. You know, I liked a group called Cute Is What We Aim For. I don't know if you ever heard them.
Was that like from Owl Falls?
No, that's not. That was Race Hardman's band. I'm Prettier Than You.
Okay.
And those guys were good. Like
they were pop punk, I think.
Yeah, oh definitely. And Paramore was one of those groups.
Oh, Paramore, I forgot about that. Yeah. I do love
music. There were a lot of groups in like the 2007 range, the starting line. Oh, so good. And now I'm a very nostalgic person, so when I hear those songs, it brings me back to that. So yeah,
they're just good. They're good throwbacks.
Yeah.
When I take the cheerleaders to wrestling meets, like when I have to drive the Suburban with all of them, and I get to pick music, which is rare because usually they
don't let you.
No, they usually pick it. But when I do, you can bet there's some throwbacks on there of those, and they don't hate them. They don't hate them. They just are kind of questioning my choices. But they don't hate them.
Yeah. And like today I talked to students about what they like to listen to. And I love to listen to hip hop and stuff too. But now, you know, there's not a lot of groups around that even use instruments. It's all like beats and using, you know, stuff from their computer. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of a cool thing because it's allowed so many creative voices to be out and to be, popular. And in our kids, that's a lot of what they listen to. So is there any current musical groups or artists that you're really into?
Oh gosh. I feel like every year I get stuck in a different genre. Mm-hmm. Like right now I'm kind of stuck in the country.
Oh,
probably because
terrible.
Of the stinking line dancing.
I hate country music.
I know. I hate it too. Like before I came to Owl Falls, I was like, God, country music, gross. Like I hated it. Yeah. I wouldn't even, if somebody played it, I was instantly like, this is stupid. Please turn it off before I throw up. And then I came here and look at me now. But then last year, the year before, it would have been like alternative.
Yeah.
Like Mumford and Sons, Lumineers. Oh, yeah. All of those. I like those more mellow artists.
Yeah.
Now I'm stuck in country.
Very cool. So if you have music, right? If you need recommendations, talk to Miss Council.
I have a long list.
Her Spotify is probably got a wide range of genres.
Yeah. I don't make playlists. I just like all my songs. So I have one like 1,000,000,000 song playlist. So
with anything from country
anything.
To Breaking Benjamin.
There might even be some like acoustic piano or something on there. Who knows?
There you go. Lots of good options. So let's get back to your teaching career. Mm-hmm. Obviously we talked about how you love teaching and you love being a student. But if you didn't teach, what type of career would you want to pursue? Now that means you can really like any type of career, you know, it doesn't matter what you get paid or whatever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter your qualifications. What would you like to pursue?
I think if I was not a teacher, I would have to do something related to animals. Like I love animals in any shape and form. So I'd have to do something like that. Ideally it'd be like a vet, but that's a lot of school.
Mm-hmm.
And,
was there ever a time where you thought about that?
Oh, 100%. That was like at first I wanted to be a cosmetologist, but I don't know how to do hair or makeup. So that was a bad idea. But I did want to be a vet. And then I looked at how much school it was and I was like, that's too much for me. Mm-hmm. Like that's a lot of school.
Yeah. You can still love animals and have connections with animals.
Yeah. And so that would be like the more career path, but I mean, I could also see myself in like 10, 20 years opening up some sort of like animal rescue or like a doggy daycare. Like my life is just better when there's dogs in it. So if I could open up something like that, that would be awesome.
Very cool. Awesome. And then the last question we always ask our guests is, what's your why? Why do you teach?
I think I really teach just for the students. I really love underdogs. And I think that's really what made me want to become a teacher too, is just giving extra support and love to the underdogs and making sure that they know that that there are teachers who care about them and want them to be successful in any way possible. So really, I think that's probably my why, is just making sure any kid that I have or that I don't have, that I just have any sort of connection with, that they know that I support them and that I want them to be successful in any way, shape, or form. It's not really even English related, but just being there for students that need it in any way.
Yeah.
That's probably my why.
That's a great why. And you bring up a great point about like the underdog. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that in school and education, you know, 20 years ago, I'm not saying it wasn't a priority, but it was so much of, hey, kid, they just got to figure it out. I feel like now we as teachers and administrators, we do a really good job of identifying like, hey, what does success mean for this student compared to this student? Yep. Equity.
Yeah.
Not necessarily equality, but equity. And I was listening to, or not listening, when I had my conversation with Mr. Herzog, he and I talked about that. He said, a lot of times when students are struggling, you know, school has always been a struggle.
Yeah.
It's never been a good place. So if they're acting out towards you, it's probably because nothing you did. No. It's like a history
of
this.
It's a history of it. And so I think I really want to my classroom to be that place where kids are aware that, you know, I fully support them and I just want them to do well.
Absolutely. And that's what a great reason to teach. And if I would argue, if you're not thinking about that, you probably shouldn't teach.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
You could do something else.
Yeah.
So awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on the podcast, Dana. This has been cool. And like I said, if you ever need music recommendations,
come to me.
Dana's the person to go to. But if you also need hobbies to start doing, she's got
a long list. We got
line dancing,
puzzling. I do puzzles,
paint by numbers, all that stuff,
dog walking, anything you want.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Dana.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Cadet Conversations and Coffee Podcast. I want to give a special shout out to junior Isabel Nicozzle, who created our awesome logo for the podcast, and freshman Val Hensley, who created all of our original music for the podcast. If you like what you hear, give us a like, follow, or subscription on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. See you next time.